Hey, this is Aaron Newcomb. On this episode of Floss Weekly, Guillermo Gamarral joins me to talk about OSCON, which is one of the premier open source conferences sponsored by O'Reilly. You're not going to want to miss it. It's coming up right now on Floss Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Floss Weekly is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Floss Weekly with Aaron Newcomb and Guillermo Amaral, episode 344, recorded on July 8th, 2015. OSCON Preview. This episode is brought to you by DigitalOcean, simple and fast cloud hosting built for developers. Deploy an SSD cloud server in 55 seconds. Try it today for free. Visit DigitalOcean.com, and once you sign up, be sure to enter the promo code FLOSS, that's FLOSS, in the billing section for a $10 credit. Welcome to Floss Weekly, the show where we talk about free Libre open source software. That's what the show stands for. That's what those letters mean. In case you're new to this program, welcome. We love having new people watch our show. You might be expecting Randall Schwartz. He is not here today. He's actually down at Fizzly, which is a wonderful open source conference down in Brazil. If you ever have the chance to get down there, I highly recommend that you go down and check that out, because it is a really good conference to go to. Lots of activity and excitement down there about open source software. And so I think he's giving a couple presentations down there or something like that. But we're not here to talk about Fizzly. We're here to talk about another open source conference. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, let me bring on my co-host, my lovely co-host, Guillermo. Are you there?
I am here. I wanted to do a spinning intro like this.
I'm here. It's never good to do live demos on the show. You know, if you haven't done it before, I've learned that lesson the hard way many times. Live demos never work. So the spinning thing, you know, you fall off the chair, you go crazy. Yes. it wouldn't be good. What are you up to these days? I haven't seen you in a while.
Well, I don't know. I've been doing a lot of videos now. I'm trying to move from the podcasting, audio podcasting world into the video world. As you can see, I've been working a lot, so I have a lot of mess in behind me now. That's pretty much it. How about you? How is everything going?
Things are going great up here, lovely California. In fact, I think I'm going to see you soon, hopefully in person, but we'll get to that at the end of the show when we do our plugs. Benicia Makerspace actually is taking up the majority of my time. We have our grand opening this weekend, so we'll actually be having members come in. Our space is filled out with all this equipment, but we don't want to talk about that. We're here to talk about something more near and dear to our hearts, at least as far as this show is concerned, and that is open source software and OSCON. We're going to be talking about OSCON in just a little bit, and that's coming up very soon. Guillermo, have you ever been to OSCON?
No, not really, but I have heard about it.
Yeah, I've heard about it too. In fact, I've never been either. What I said when I moved out to California, what I said was that's one of the things I want to do is go to OSCON, because I'll be closer. I used to go to Ohio Linux Fest quite a bit when I was out in Ohio, and then I just haven't had a chance to go to OSCON. So I'm actually quite interested in learning. This won't be really an insider show, I don't think, because I haven't been, you haven't been. So we're going to learn a lot today about OSCON and what's coming up for OSCON in just a minute. But before that, let's get to something. Before we bring on our guests, let's get to something else we need to take care of, and that is to talk about our sponsor, which is DigitalOcean. Whether you're an experienced code warrior or just getting started, you need flexible, reliable, and affordable hosting. That's right. DigitalOcean provides developers with Droplets, which are virtual private servers that can be customized and deployed quickly to host websites, web apps, production applications, personal projects, virtual desktops, almost anything you can think of with full root access. That's very important for folks like us that like to get into the command line and start hacking around. DigitalOcean is built for developers. Like I said, it's used for over 400,000 of them. You can deploy, configure your Droplets in a streamlined control panel or a simple API. You can choose your OS. They support Ubuntu, CentOS, Debian, Fedora, all the various Linux distributions that you like to use. One-click install always
allows you to quickly deploy apps like Django, Docker, Drupal, LAMP, you name it, you can deploy it pretty much with DigitalOcean. All servers are built on hex core machines with dedicated ECC RAM and RAID SSD storage, so they're going to be very, very fast. In fact, they have up to 20 CPUs, 64 gig of RAM, and 640 gig of SSD hard drive space. These are, but I tell you, these are really nice, nicely provisioned servers here. Highly scalable. They provide auto backups, snapshots to let you easily clone, deploy, and resize droplets as you grow. You can deploy servers in regions all over the world with gigabit speeds. Really, really nice service from DigitalOcean. And it's so easy to get started. You can deploy an SSD-based cloud server in as little as 55 seconds. So 10 seconds faster than I said. I can't believe it. So DigitalOcean has incredibly affordable and straightforward pricing. Servers start at only $5 per month. There's also hourly pricing available for those pop-up projects that you need to take care of, starting at less than a penny per hour. But we're going to make it so that you can get started today and deploy an SSD cloud server for free. That's right, for free. All you have to do is visit DigitalOcean.com and create an account. And once you confirm your email and account information, go to the billing section and enter the promo code FLOSS, that's F-L-O-S-S, for a free $10 credit. So that's plenty to get you started and explore what DigitalOcean can do. That's DigitalOcean.com. And once you sign up, enter the code FLOSS, F-L-O-S-S, in the billing section for a $10 credit. And we thank DigitalOcean for their support of FLOSS Weekly. So now let's bring on our guest. Rachel, are you there?
I am here.
Now, Rachel, how are you doing? Good. I worked on your last name before the show to make sure I could get it right. So let me see. It's Romulotis?
Romeliotis.
Oh, my word. I got it wrong. I knew we were having some technical difficulties before the show started. I knew I was going to lose it because of that. I was practicing in my head until we started having technical difficulties. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. The first thing I want to do is invite you both to an OzCon as my guest because I can't believe you haven't been to one. So I know you might not be able to make it this year, but next year I want to see you guys in Austin, Texas.
Awesome. Awesome. Yes, I'd love to come. I mean, it's one of those shows that I've always said I wanted to come to. And just for whatever reason, just have never gotten a chance. I don't know if it's the time of year, things get busy. I don't know what it is. But it's certainly it's on my bucket list.
Good.
Yeah, it sounds like so much fun. I keep hearing about it from Randall and other folks, and it just sounds like a wonderful conference. So how long has OzCon been going on?
This is the 18th year of OzCon, if you can believe it. And I feel like the world of software has just changed in the past two decades. And I hope that you can see that OzCon has changed with it and actually helped play a part in that change over the last two decades.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know it's probably, well, I don't know. It's definitely one of the longest running software shows, I think, out there. There may be a couple that are older, but I mean, this one definitely is one that has been going on for so long. And you're right, a lot of things have changed in the past. Even in the past few years, things have changed. If you look at the rise of Android and some other things, and we'll get into all that in a minute, but I want to talk a little bit more about some of the basics of OzCon first,
sure.
and we'll get into that. So if I wanted to attend, how do I do that? How much do I have to pay? And how long is the conference? And I'll give me some of those details.
Sure. So the best way to find out information is to go to OzCon.com, which I believe is showing below me right now. And we have a variety of passes. You can go for the 5-day pass, which includes either a training course or tutorials and 3 days of sessions. So we really pack it in there. You can get just a training course pass, you could get a tutorials pass, you could get just the sessions pass, and then you can also get just an expo hall pass for as little as $50. So there's definitely options there, and the cost ranges from $50 on up to, I think, $2,500 maybe.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, I mean, it sounds like there's a little something for everybody. Do they do the training sessions on different days, I'm assuming, than the general
yes.
sessions?
So this year, OzCon is July 20th through the 24th. The tutorials and the training courses will be on July 20th and 21st. And then all of the sessions will be on the 22nd through the 24th.
Oh, great. Great. So what should I expect? What kind of sessions generally are delivered? and also, I mean, highlight the training as well, because that's important to folks too.
Sure. I mean, so the fun thing about OzCon is that it covers so much material, and that's also the difficult part of OzCon. So we actually, for training courses, we have three different ones. We have microservices, which is the hotness right now. We have an introduction to Go and an introduction to Swift. So those are two-day training courses where you really, you come in, and by the end, you're going to be able to go out and solve a problem that you have, finish a project, and you're going to have some takeaways, some actual takeaways with that. The tutorials is where the choices get more difficult. I believe there's 38 this year, and they range anywhere from, we have one on Rust, which, as you know, is an emerging language. We have ones on Cassandra. We have ones on, the most popular ones are microservices, containers, as is probably not a surprise to you either. And semi-surprising to me were that the security tutorials are really the ones that have really sold out the most. So they're actually starting to sell out at this point, but they've had the most interest. So they're, okay, honestly, there's something for everyone.
Yeah, definitely. Now, OzCon is a little bit different than other open source conferences. Well, I don't know if it's different. You tell me. You straighten me out if I get this wrong. Sure. But OzCon is sponsored by O'Reilly, which I love O'Reilly. I don't have any problems with O'Reilly. I'm just saying it's a sponsored conference in that it's not, is it, or is it still a community conference, or is it more of a, tell me what it is.
Yeah, so it's a conference that we put on as a company, and there is a sponsorship ecosystem, and so we have lots and lots of different sponsors that are at the event. However, what I like about OzCon is that it still has a community feel, and there are lots of individuals that have been with the conference for a while that help us, the program chairs, figure out what that program is. And I think the important thing is that, again, we look for it to reflect what people in the community need in open source. And while we have the sponsors, we think that's an added bonus in the expo hall for the people that are in attendance.
Yeah. Well, it's not a bad thing. It is a little bit different in the fact that it is sponsored by O'Reilly. But I have a soft spot for O'Reilly, just with everything that they've done, especially for the maker community. With Make Magazine and all that stuff coming out of O'Reilly and all their books and everything. I've got, I can see five books right now on my shelf from O'Reilly. So I just wanted to point that out, that it is a little bit different than other maybe community-based conference. But I think the content probably is going to be similar, if not better in some ways, because it's run more like a standard conference. You might be able to attract some speakers that you wouldn't see otherwise. Speaking of that, can you give us a little preview of who's lined up to speak this year?
Wow. So we have 140 sessions. So there's a lot of people that are going to be speaking. Some of the keynotes, we have Martin Fowler coming, which is going to be really great. We have George Dyson that is going to come and talk about analog computing. Gosh, who do we have talking? We have Kelsey Hightower talking about Kubernetes and CoreOS. We have, we have people talking about GitHub. Let me see, what was her name? I don't remember. But I mean, we have so many people, it's hard to keep track of. We get about 1,200 proposals, and we whittle that down to about 10%. And honestly, it's a beast of a program, but it's a program that I am super, super proud of, I think. And we transitioned this year to a little bit different style track system. And I think it's going to be really great. I think people will really like it. And it's the kind of thing where you could stay in a track if you wanted all day, or you can bounce around.
Right. And that's important, because I know when I attend these conferences, you always get a lot of times they have tracks, and you get this one or two sessions where you're just like, I don't really need this one. And it's nice to be able to bounce outside of that and go to something else that might be interesting that's offered. Sure. Before we get too far, Rachel, we should probably also ask you what your role is. Well, what do you... I don't think we covered that. So what's your role either with O'Reilly or with OzCon?
Sure. So with OzCon, I have the privilege of being a program chair, and it's very exciting to me. This is my first year. So I'll be the program chair for OzCon in Portland, but also in Amsterdam in October. And at O'Reilly, in addition to doing that, I'm a strategic content director for all of our programming content. So OzCon is one of the events that kind of takes a lot of what we do and puts it together for the developers so they can, you know, go and look at something on microservices, look at something on security, look at something on containers.
Mm, wow. I didn't realize there were so many OSCONs around now. So there's, how many are there? You said there's Austin, Portland.
So there's two a year. So this year it's going to be Portland in July and Amsterdam in October. And next year is when we are going to go to Austin in May. So we're doing two a year for right now, but you never know. Sky's the limit. It's a big world. Could end up going somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm always used to it being in Portland, but so they're gonna move it to Austin just for next year and see how that goes, or
we're gonna do that. You know, we wanted to basically make sure that everyone has the opportunity to go to OSCON. Portland is just a fantastic city, and I'm sure we'll be back. We just want to try different areas, see if we get different crowds. Just check it out. You know, like I feel lucky that we've been able to be in Portland, but I want to make sure that we like spread the love. Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because Austin is such a happening place right now for technology. And of course, Portland always has been. And so they almost, in my mind, they almost seem like sister cities in a way in terms of their, what's going on in the field. I mean, I know they're also quite different, but certainly in terms of where the action is, both cities are great places to be for technology. And technology has changed. I mean, that's something that we wanted to talk about too. I mean, how have you seen, I don't know how long you've been involved with this. Maybe you can tell us that too. But how have you seen, what kind of changes have you seen since you started this or just in general over the years? How has the conference changed?
So the conference, you know, I've been to the conference, I think, four times now. And it really was, it started out as a Perl conference. And it's always been very heavy in Perl. And what we wanted to do is that we wanted to shift it so that it reflected what was happening out in the programming community. So while we still wanted to have Perl, we wanted to make sure that we covered other languages. And further than that, we wanted to make sure that we were not talking in languages, because I don't think that people any longer are like, I'm a Python programmer. It's more that you're, you know, creating apps and you're going to use what makes sense for that. You're going to use Flask if it makes sense, or you might use something in Java. You might use a Spring framework. So there's all different types of things. So what we found was that instead of identifying as, with a language, it was more about what do you need to accomplish? And so that's what we decided last year with my colleague, Simon St. Laurent. We decided that we needed to change it so that it was more about scalability, collaboration, security, architecture, these issues that were actually coming up for developers, instead of this is how you do this with Python. You'll find some of that in some of the sessions, but we really wanted it to be, here's your problem, here's your solution. And I think if you were to stay with a track an entire time, it does tell a story through the 3 days that we have it.
So we have an OSCON, right? The OS in OSCON is open source. Is that just limited to, let's say, open source software, or maybe is there a little hardware sprinkled inside there?
There is a little bit of hardware sprinkled in. I think more importantly, what you're going to see is that, and this is something else that we, maybe a lot of people have seen, but that open source and developer was almost redundant. And that, I mean, you've heard everyone, you know, open source has won. And I agree, it has. What developers, it's unlikely that you're a developer and you aren't using some sort of open source. So something that we wanted to make sure of was that, of course, we support open source. You'll see, I mean, you know, 90% of the program is open source, but that it's kind of ubiquitous. You know, whatever you could use something proprietary with, you know, Java or with a certain framework. And so we wanted to make sure that we were including people that didn't necessarily identify themselves as open source developers, because we just think everyone is. And so, as you also mentioned, there's definitely hardware is a piece of that, especially with the whole IoT evolution. And so we have a hardware showcase, which is really cool, where you can just see cool things. Like we have a session with the guys that made the $9 computer, which I think will be cool. And, you know, we explore sort of like there's the open hardware movement. And it's kind of, you know, like for software engineers to dip a toe into that area. Because, I mean, you don't know. it's very unlikely that you're going to be doing the same thing throughout your career. So hardware, I think, is in a lot of people's future.
Okay. So can you give me a little idea? Like I did mention I haven't been there before.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I say newbie to the conference. What can I expect when I get there? How's the vibe, the environment? Is there a place to drink?
So it's at the Oregon Convention Center, which is a great place. And it's really big, and we take up about half of it. When you go in, I think what you'll notice is that there is a large hallway track, and that there are people that have been there for years that are talking, and they haven't seen each other. This is where they meet up. And then there are newbies, I think, that very quickly you'll find someone to talk to. So there's a very vibrant networking track. And then there's all of the different sessions. So I think there's a combination of there's a really friendly vibe. People are happy that you're there. They're excited to talk about something they're excited about. And then there's all of the sessions. You know, it's always difficult to figure out, one, which session to go to. And then what do I not go to that session? And do I then, you know, go to the networking, you know, track, the hallway track. And then as far as the actual city, Portland is just amazing. And they have a light rail called the MAX. And you can just basically be in downtown Portland in literally 5 minutes. And there's lots and lots of drinking establishments there. So no worries there.
Well, it does sound super interesting. Yeah. Okay. So if you do have something like, let's say for open hardware, how easy is it to, like, for me to submit a talk to the conference?
Sure. So we have an open CFP. I believe since we're going to have the event in May of next year, it's going to open up in October. So we have a couple months where you can put your proposal in. And I welcome any and all proposals. I mean, take a look at what we've done this year. We'll, of course, make some tweaks as things move along. But, I mean, basically what makes a good proposal is, one, take the time to do an actual good proposal. It really makes a difference and it stands out. Also, if you have some video, if you can attach to it, it gives us an example of what your talk would be like. But basically, again, something that is timely, something that you can tie into the greater software community. So for open hardware, like the $9 computer. So immediately I was like, man, people are going to want to know about that. So, you know, finding out in that case, it's going to be a story of what did and didn't work. So that's great. It's great to see patterns. It's great to see case studies. And it's great to sort of have, you know, just start people down a path and give them ideas on how to solve problems.
So let's say the age range. I know that plays out. That's something important for a lot of and people, mm-hmm. you know, getting into the interest in into the industry. Rather,
sure.
What's the age range there? Age range. See, I need more coffee today.
So,
go ahead.
So first of all, what's really cool is that on the Sunday before OzCon, we actually have Kids Day. And so that brings the age range way down. I believe we have maybe 7 or 8 year olds up to 18 year olds. And we have 100 of them coming in on that day to learn Raspberry Pi, to learn Minecraft, Arduino stuff. So that's super fun. And then once you get to the OzCon proper, I would say, honestly, it's from 20s on up. There really is, I have to say, and I've seen this shift over the last few years, all different types of people, women, men, old, young, all different, you know, hardware, web apps, you know, Docker, like just, it's really a great, great mix. And that's one of the great things about it is that you can, I always say like, okay, so COBOL isn't used that much anymore, but like, imagine the stuff you could like learn from talking to like some guy that used COBOL for like, you know, 20 years ago. I don't know. I just feel like it expands your mind in a way that you wouldn't normally do day to day in the office.
Oh, I know. I personally have a lot of fun talking with people, you know, long bearded developers in this case. Yeah, because, you know, they talk to you about, as you said, you know, these like really old languages like COBOL. You know, I'm the oldest one I know is like C, right? So yeah. It's not that old, but, you know, it's not young either way. So, yeah, I totally understand. You know, I did have something I did want to ask you, and I just totally went off in another different place. But maybe you can give us a little idea of what it is to be the programming chair at OzCon.
Sure. like I said, it's my privilege. It's been so fantastic. It's really given me an idea of what the entire space is like in open source and programming. And so it's a little bit about, you know, we get this these 1,200 proposals in. Thank goodness we have a committee that helps look through them. And then it's about crafting that program so that you make sure that you hit the hot topics, you make sure that you hit the fundamentals, and you make sure, I mean, one of the things that we've been talking about at O'Reilly is that basically, you know, whether you're, you know, T-shaped or whatever type of engineer you're going to be, like basically be an engineer. Be really good at what you do. Think about what you do. And so keeping those core ideas of what we are thinking about when we produce content and making sure that that is infused into our events. So keeping that in mind, keeping the idea of the hot topics, finding, you know, a good mix of people that you know have something great to say and people that maybe haven't said anything yet, but you know are diamonds in the rough. That is always fantastic too. And seeing somehow making it all hang together in the event that is OSCON.
Diamond in the rough. That sounds like me. No, I'm kidding. No, okay. No, yeah. My question came back to me. I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, lack of coffee, as I mentioned. You did mention ladies go to the conference. What's the percentage there between you know, male programmers and male attendees in this case, and women? And is it a safe environment for them?
Sure. I mean, I don't have the exact number. I want to say it's like 15% ladies. It could even be more. I think it's a very safe environment. I haven't had any issues. Certainly, if anyone ever came across any issues, we would take care of it right away. Like I said, I think in general, it's a really welcoming event and audience. And we do a lot to make sure we have, at lunch, we have the women in programming table so everybody can commiserate. But I think even beyond that, it's just, it's a bunch of cool people. I think, thankfully, most people are pretty great and they want to share what they've learned. And I think you'll find a strong presence of community, and that I think I would hope that all of the women that have been to OSCON in the past would agree with me, I think.
So, you know, I know a lot of the people here in the Scale conference. I don't know if you've been to the LA one.
I haven't. I know about it, though.
Perfect. So I know Garrett's going to be super happy about that. So maybe you can mention what type of coordination goes on in the background with tools and such. Do you guys make your own apps to, you know, let people know what conference to go to? I mean, what track to go to, stuff like that?
So we do have we have an email campaign. We have a blog on the site. We have an app for when you're actually at the event, and we actually have a new one. We just launched it at another event we have called Solid, which is actually all about hardware and IoT, and it's going to have a lot of cool things. It has a social aspect. You can make, of course, your own schedule. It updates. Way better than the one that we had before. I mean, I think it's keeping an eye on our radar site. It's keeping an eye on OSCON.com. And it's also making sure that you're taking everything in. Like when you come in for the day, there's you can see what's up for the day. There's boards up that talk about, you know, hey, we're going to have a birds of a feather over here. Definitely stop by the O'Reilly booth on the expo hall floor. We also do interviews, which we haven't started to schedule yet, but we'll have that also on the expo hall floor. So outside of sessions, there's, like I said, there's a lot to do. So I think it's kind of like keep your head on a swivel and see sort of where everyone's going.
All right. And what is the, is this only an English thing, like an English language conference, or are there different tracks for different languages, different people? Is this more international, or is it only U.S. based?
It is. So we do have some international audience, but all of the sessions and tutorials are in English.
Okay. Well, yeah, just in case, you know, I'm bilingual, so I, you know.
Sure.
So I can usually, you know, go to conferences where they manage one language or the other, and I can get a mix from both of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's really cool.
Is there a spinoff conference that came out of this? I know you mentioned, which one was it?
Solid.
Solid. Yeah, you mentioned Solid. Is that something that grew out of OSCON?
So we have a lot of different conferences. And I wouldn't say necessarily that they literally spin off. I do think of OSCON as sort of like the big mama of our conferences. And, you know, it's the one that encompasses horizontally the most content. So we also have Solid, which I mentioned, which is sort of the world of IoT and the hardware startups. We have Strata, which is all about data, which is super explosive right now. We have Velocity, which covers a lot on networking and infrastructure and containers. We have Fluent, which is a lot on basically the front end JavaScript development. Something that we're launching in January is a design conference, and that's something that my colleague Mary Tressler has been working a lot on, and that's I think going to be something really great. And the other two things that we're starting are sort of like the future of, and we're going to do the future of business and the future of money. So there are a lot of events going on, and we definitely, we learn from each other and what's going on. And I definitely look and borrow from them when they're doing something cool or if I see something totally amazing. And I hope they do the same for me.
So conferences are like this super energetic mix of people, right? There something? Yeah, it is. Is there something that grew out of OSCON, maybe a project that started off as maybe two people sitting down at the bar there and it just flourished into something well-known?
That's a good question. I unfortunately don't know that. I know that as far as O'Reilly Editors, it's a great place to talk to people about projects. And I know that many, many books and videos and have come out of OSCON. I don't know, unfortunately, if I have to think there have been. I don't know if literally like back of the napkin type of thing has happened. I hope it has. Or if it hasn't, let's make sure that happens this year.
What other, we mentioned beer and some other things that are going on. I know that something that's been popular in, especially at developer conferences recently are the extracurricular activities, if you will.
Sure.
Down at Scale, they always do a board game, or they have been anyway. The times that I've been there, they do a board game night and kind of a video game night where it's really popular. And it's nice because with this crowd, we tend to be a little bit more shy and withdrawn, I think, in general. And it just helps kind of like get everybody out of their skin and you start meeting new people and things like that. So, is there anything else that we haven't covered already that OSCON that typically happens at OSCON outside of the main sessions and
sure.
and training?
So, no, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, for anyone, walking up to strangers is difficult. And so it's great to provide those opportunities. So we have an attendee party, which I forget what day that is, Monday or Tuesday, which is great. We actually have a 5K race that runs through some of Portland. We have a hackathon area. We have different tables that bring people together at lunch, if you're into Python or if you're into microservices. We have that. We have Birds of a Feather that people put together. We have Ignite, which is something that we talk about. Which is an event we have in the evening. And we have, for instance, we have like the downtime room. I forget exactly what we call it, but it's kind of like the quiet room where you can go and relax and recharge, which I think is important because, like you said, it's super high energy. And we have actually yoga in the morning as well. So I don't know if I can get up that early, but it's definitely something for everyone.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. Man, I didn't realize there was all that. I think that's great, though, because like you said, it is a community. This is a community of developers. And that's what always impressed me about going to these shows is that, you show up, you're not really sure what to do, and all of a sudden you start having a conversation with someone and you find out, oh, yeah, I'm into open source or, open hardware. And, I like Python, too. And here's what I like about it. And I don't know. In the Bay Area, I find it a little bit easier to run into those folks in my daily routine. But, when I was in Ohio, especially, it was like, man, I felt like I was on an island until I went to, one of these conferences. And then it was like, oh, there are other people like me. This is great. So really glad to hear that you're doing some of those extracurricular activities, if you will, as well, because I really do think it helps bring out
go ahead. Sorry. I was going to say, I think the board game and video game idea is a great idea. And I'd like to implement that. So I think that's another good one we should add.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're the nerds. We're all into the video games, right? Galaga shirt.
Yeah.
It's always a good thing. I wanted to ask another question, which is, and I forgot it now. I know what it was. It was about Chip. You mentioned Chip, the $9 computer coming.
Yep.
I don't know if you know, if you can give us a preview of that. I know that there's been a little bit of some issues in terms of Linux kernel, you know, making sure everything's open source and Linux kernel and things like that. Is that some of what they're going to be talking about?
So I think they're going to be talking about the journey. So part of that will definitely cover that topic area. I know there has been some issue recently, but as far as I know, they're sailing through that and coming through the other side, and everything is going to be fine. But I think that that's something that's really important to share with people. You know, who are the next people that are going to come out with the, you know, $5 board or something similar? Because these are issues I think that you're going to see come up again and again.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that we have a someone who did a Kickstarter here in our local makerspace, a successfully funded Kickstarter, and they went through some of that as well. And they're going to be doing a talk. We asked them to do a talk on that specifically for that reason. It's kind of like you have to learn from each other and figure out, you know, what went wrong and, you know, what you didn't know that you know now, and how would you do things differently. And it helps everybody be successful. So that's great. So we mentioned video games. Is there any video game on Linux talks, or you know, certainly video games seem to be coming along quite nicely in the Linux space. Any talks on video games?
So the one that we have a games talk, but it is around Android. So we have that, and then we have the intro to Rust is interesting for game developers, because from what I've heard, that's something that instead of C++, they're using Rust because it has all the power of C++, but it also has safety built in instead of, I guess in C++, it's really easy to have an error in there and not know about it, and then someone can go back and hack into there and mess up everything. And so Rust seems to be like an answer to that. So we have those are two tutorials. And then those are the two ways we're covering gaming. But I agree. I mean, like, so Steam OS is something that I've kept my eye on. We've done some iOS stuff, which I know isn't open source, but now Swift is open source, which is super cool. So that covers the game stuff. I personally do love gaming, so I would love to see more of that. Virtual reality is starting to actually be something I think that we can do at a price that actually makes sense, that you could possibly buy it. So that'll be something that we'll be covering soon. I think we had a VR session that ended up being canceled, unfortunately. But so that's definitely on our horizon.
Oh, that's good to hear. And you mentioned Android as well, which is another topic that's near and dear to my heart. I always make the argument when talking to people, when they say, oh, the Linux desktop, you know, it never happened, or, you know, nobody uses the Linux desktop, or Linux never really made it mainstream. And it's like, I always just point to my phone and say, dude, you know, Linux kernel's running on this device. I mean, you can't say that it hasn't made it or it didn't succeed, because it's there. Any Android? I mean, you mentioned some already. There's a gaming one, but I mean, any other Android talks going on?
So Android, I believe we have a design talk as well. I want to say we have a wearables talk, but Android's great. I mean, it's just great to see what people are doing with this, and they're getting more and more libraries built in with both iOS and Android, so that you can do more and more, whether it be games or something for your home or something like the health kit that they have. So it's really great to see that, and I'm actually excited to see. So now that Glass is sort of like, I don't know, maybe run its course as sort of like the newfangled thing, what's going to be next? And, you know, how are they going to really innovate with Android Wear, and where's that going? And they're getting into cars now. So there's lots of cool stuff happening with Android. And we have, you know, we have a whole mobile track, which covers Android, but also covers, you know, stuff like HTML and CSS and making an actually great app, no matter what type of framework that you actually use.
Cool. Sorry. Go ahead, Guillermo.
Okay. Well, you know, something just popped into my mind here. I have a lot of friends who unfortunately work with .NET.
Hey, they're getting better. Yeah, they're going open source.
But you know, what kind of companies that actually go to OSCON, or at least maybe center developers there? I know Microsoft's trying to do a lot of open sourcing.
Yeah.
Recently, do you run into them, and do you maybe I don't know, beat them up afterwards or what happens?
Yeah. So Microsoft has been a big part of OzCon for many years. And in the past, I think that, you know, developers who've used Microsoft have been a little bit in a walled garden just because, you know, they use .NET, they use C#. And so they didn't sort of like, I guess, mingle with the other developers. But I really think that's changing in a really cool way. I mean, Azure, you can use Node.js on it, which is really cool. You know, basically when the apps came out, you can use JavaScript now, you can use C++. I think that wall is really starting to crumble. And the angle that we're looking at with Microsoft is that open source side. Like, what can you do with, you know, ASP.NET and incorporate some open source framework? And the cool thing is that, one, that you can give feedback to Microsoft that they'll then incorporate, which is really cool. But I think that C#, when it came out, it came out at a time so that they could say, like, okay, everybody knows C#. Now you can do anything from like a server app to something really light and do a website. And people don't need that anymore. And so I think that's crumbling down, whereas C# is still good for some things. I've seen a lot of Microsoft evangelists saying, no, JavaScript, use it on our platform. You can use it. And Azure seems like just sort of like the gateway. It seems like a powerful thing that you can use just a bunch of different stuff on there. And it is encouraged. So I think that over the years, they've gotten more and more open. I don't think you can refute that. But yeah, no, I mean, they've been there for a long time, and they get beat up sometimes. But I think they're really doing cool things.
Well, that's great. You also mentioned wearables. That is something that might actually, you know, gear me to, you know, convince me totally. Okay, yeah, I don't need convincing. You know, I do want to go there to tell you the truth. And I will see you there next year. I can assure you that much. But let's say you mentioned wearables. That is something I am very passionate about. I like smartwatches. I have plenty of them, you know, stacked around my room here. What kind of talks can somebody expect, you know, regarding wearables? I know there is like the Meta Watch, which is, you know, open source. Is that something mm-hmm. you might find there?
So I don't know if we have the Meta Watch. We do, like I said, we have the hardware showcase, and some of that definitely is around wearables. I mean, the thing that's interesting to me about wearables is, so there's the form and function part, the hardware, but it's sort of, to me, like a renaissance for Linux. So it's another reason to know Linux. It's another reason maybe to go back and learn C, because you need to get close to the metal and figure out, oh, I don't have enough power to do this, or I need it to last 24 hours. So to me, when thinking about wearables, you know, sure, there'll be, you know, one or two on like making a cool wearable app. But to me, it's like, what are the underlying concepts that help you to engineer a great wearable? And that is, you need to know Linux. You need to possibly know C. You need to think about power consumption and all of these different constraints that, you know, in your iPhone now, it's like, that's like basically a laptop in your pocket. So with the wearables, it's kind of like the breaking down of all of that and figuring out sort of best practices that you might have like cast off because you haven't had to think about them for a while, and re-implementing those and figuring out how to work more closely with the hardware, where in many cases you haven't had to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we're getting close to the end of our time here. I just wanted to ask before we got, you know, completely done here, is there anything we missed? Is there anything that you really wanted to let people know about that we didn't cover today? People obviously still have time to sign up and get tickets and all that good stuff, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, even I want to say on site you can buy tickets, but I hope that's true. I'm so proud of what we've done with it. The event, I think that it's a reflection of what's going on. I think that people that attend are going to find, you know, if they're having scaling issues, security issues, that they're going to find that. They're going to find, you know, how to solve problems. They're going to find how to be a better engineer. They're going to learn how to collaborate, and they're going to learn how open source not only is something that you use in languages or to code, but it's something that can transform a company to keep pace with the rate of change that they need to.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, maybe if John still has it, if we have the website, we can bring the website up. I'm assuming this is the best place to go if you're interested, which is oscon.com, correct?
That is correct. That is the headquarters.
And will you be streaming any of these talks or the keynotes or anything? If maybe after the fact, will things be posted online?
Yep. So we stream all of the keynotes, so that'll be live. And then we will be posting interviews during OzCon that will live on YouTube afterwards. So some of the speakers that are talking, we'll talk to some of the program chair, some of the sponsors. So lots of good content. And then we record the entire thing, and then it's for sale after at O'Reilly.com and Safari.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So people can check that out. Now, I don't know, are you a developer yourself?
I am not. I just know about the development world.
Okay, because I was going to ask, you know, we always have these questions that we ask. Usually we get either program managers or developers on. We have these questions that we ask about favorite scripting language and whether you prefer VI or Emacs. I don't know if you actually have an answer for that if you're not a developer, but
I don't. I can tell you the coolest video game I played recently. Okay. It was Last of Us, which I thought was just amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic.
That was great.
It is a good game. I have not gotten into it yet, but I bought it. I've got it. It's loaded on my on my PC, so I've got a ton of games that I just don't have time to play, unfortunately. But that's awesome. Guillermo, any last thoughts or questions?
Last of Us is a very good game. Yes.
Great. You know, well, Rachel. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to close it out. So, Rachel, thanks for joining us today. It's been really great to talk to you. I hope that everybody in the area or even not in the area has a chance to go to OzCon, can make some time and go, because I know it's always a lot of fun, and I never hear any bad things about it. And I always hear just good things. So that's good. In fact, I'll talk about it in just a minute, but we're actually going to be doing a show from OzCon coming up during the event. So we'll talk about that when we get to upcoming episodes. But I just wanted to thank you for joining us today and talking about OzCon.
Thank you so much, both of you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. So that was our preview of OzCon. We like to do these occasionally for some of the community open source events around. I know we do one for Scale as well, which is great. What do you think, Guillermo? Are you excited to pack up and head to OzCon next year?
Oh, I am. I am. It's one of those conferences that I always say I'm going to go, but then something embedded pops up and then I have to go to that one also. So it kind of beats it out. But, you know, now I'm totally convinced.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've wanted to go even, you know, like I said, since before I came to California. And, you know, probably next year might have been the year that I could go. But now, since it's not going to be in Portland, I don't know if I can go. We'll see. I'll try to get there. Austin's a little bit further away for me than Portland. So we'll see. But that's good that they're mixing it up. I mean, it's hard with these conferences. You know, there's not always one close to where you're at. And so some people end up traveling. I know we had people even at the Ohio Linux Fest that came from, you know, half of the country away to come to that conference. And it's a little crazy, but it's always a lot of fun. So people should definitely check it out. Speaking about checking things out, we should probably take a look at what's coming up for Floss Weekly on our calendar. It looks like next week we're going to be talking about DigiCam. If you're not familiar with DigiCam is, I believe it's open source software that lets you do video chat and I'm trying to look here. Let's see. I thought it also lets you do it's a digital photo management application. I thought it was an online chat application. Maybe that's Talky. Maybe I'm getting it mixed up. So it's a digital photo management application. It runs on Linux, Windows, and Mac, but it's open source. So we're going to be talking to the developers about that. And then, as I mentioned before, the week after that, July 22nd, we're going to be doing a show from OzCon. So that'll be a lot of fun. And we'll be hopefully picking up one of the keynote speakers or something like that to talk to. And then on July 29th, this is what I was thinking of. We're going to be having the developers of Talky on. Talky.io is that website. If you want to look up, get a preview of your own for that episode. This is the video chat application, and they do screen sharing for small groups. So it's from what I understand of it, it's a little bit like Hangouts when Hangouts first came out, you know, kind of like screen sharing and video chat, really simple to use, good for groups, things like that. So we'll be talking to the developers of Talky about their project. So that's what's coming up. Randall will be back eventually. to talk about all of these things. I know everybody misses him when he's not here, but hey, you got us. What more can you ask for? Guillermo, what's going on in your neck of the woods? What do you want to plug? What are you up to?
Well, I am, as I think I mentioned before, on the show, I am relaunching my YouTube channel. So if anybody wants to watch me do crazy things with stuff I have behind me or play video games and stuff, just either look me up on Twitter. That's at @GAMARAL. And there's a little link there to my channel. You can just click that. It's going to be easier than telling you that crazy URL thing. And that's pretty much it, really. Keep watching the show. I hope everybody here is liking how we are covering for Randall right now, as you mentioned. I hope we did a good job anyway.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. No, it's always good to talk to you and have you on. It's nice to have a like-minded person. I'm sure if we wanted to, we could just do a whole show about the projects we're working on and open hardware and all that kind of great stuff. But thanks for being here.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, we really should.
Hint, hint.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Open hardware. As far as I'm concerned, if you want to follow me, Google Plus is typically where I hang out in terms of social media. You can find me on Plus, Aaron Newcomb, on Google Plus. And I do respond if you have something, if you find something interesting that I'm talking about or you want to send something my way, that's the best way to do it. Also, if you're in the California area, Northern California area, you know, check out BenishaMakerspace.org. I'm the president of that organization. It's a makerspace I started in town here, and we're doing our grand opening this weekend. It'll be a lot of fun. So we're actually, after working on this for a couple of years, we're actually launching it, getting it off the ground, taking memberships. So that'll be a lot of fun too. It seems like I work a lot on that these days. Also co-host other podcasts here on the Twit Network, All About Android and This Week in Google occasionally and other shows. So you might have seen me recently on the Google I/O coverage. So I try to do a lot of that too, because I have a lot of varied interests, I guess you could say. So I think that's it. I think that's everything. So thanks for watching. Hopefully you'll tune in next time and be on the lookout for our upcoming OSCON show from OSCON. But until then, you're watching Floss Weekly.